As parents and grandparents, from time to time, when the kiddos come in, I'll ask them how they're doing in school. Are you making good grades? My favorite question to Zane is, you going to be on the honor roll? And he says, no. He's not going to be on the honor roll. I think it's important, though, that we increase our education. So let's think about this idea today, and we'll see how it works. We're going to have a report card today. Now, back when Max Shields and I went to school, this is the grading system they used. I don't know what they use anymore. In college, we had points. I think when I was there, we had a three-point system. An A was 3 points, a B was 2, and a C was 1. And you had to have a certain grade point to graduate. But for our simple-minded people like me, we're going to use this grading system today. And it's going to be fun. It was fun in school when the teacher says you can grade your own paper, because I was going to make a good grade when that happened. So for those that you would like, if you got paper, use it. If you got your phones, use it. Silence it, but use it. And grade yourself today. We're going to have a test. And we're going to talk about a few things, and we're going to grade ourselves as we go. This is the way Tim started, wasn't it? I think this is where he started. All right. How are your study habits? 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study, study, study. We hear that every time we come to church. Study, study. I think probably Jimmy knows the Bible better than anyone here. But I can forget better than I remember, so I have to study. Study is important. When your kids come in, don't you say, don't y'all have homework? Anything you need to do? Any studying to do? Hey, you young ones, don't y'all have homework? Yeah. Okay. Let's keep it going. In Hebrews 5:12, when for a time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such that have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. How many of us, when the Lord looks at us, we're sucking on a bottle? How many of us don't know enough about the word? How many of us have not matured? We're still crawling. We can't walk. All right, here's your first one for today that you're going to grade yourself for. Study habits. Don't be grading me. Grade yourself, okay? You got your grades down? And we'll go through these pretty quickly so it won't take too long. What about the effort that you give? Deuteronomy 11:13. And it shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. Do you give 100%? I always think it's interesting to watch the professional basketball players warm up. They kind of lope along, and they don't ever get shoot a shot like that in the ball game. Somebody's going to clobber them. They're just warming up. I guess that's what it is. Another verse, very similar. Mark 12:30. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. I would say that's probably 110%. How much effort are we giving as a Christian? One more verse, Romans 12:11. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Slothful is lazy in my book. I use this example with the grandkids. They'll want to work in the summertime, and I usually tell them, I'm going to pay you according to how you work. Let me tell you a story. And Zane said, okay, here's another story. There was a boy graduated from Briscoe High School. I think he was in my sister Jane Ann's class. He goes to West Texas, gets him a degree, comes back to Pampa, and he's working for Southwestern Public Service. He's an electrician. We got one here today. But he's working with my uncle. And see, I guess they read meters. They'd go to each house, they'd read the meter, and they'd write it down, and then you'd get an electric bill. Well, this boy was pretty athletic, so when he would read the meter to go, instead of going to the alley and going to the next house, he jumped the fence. And they'd keep it going, and they'd get through before anybody else did. Then he would go help somebody else. And everybody got through better because he was pretty aggressive. He worked at it hard. He had a lot of effort. Well, he got promoted. When he retired, he was president of XL Energy. He put a lot of effort into it. All right, what's your grade for effort? If you notice, I'm not going to write down penmanship on this. Got your grades? This might go along with effort. In Matthew 25 and 24, then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have not strawed. You remember before this, every man was given from the Lord certain talents. One was given 5 talents, another one was given 2 talents, and another one was given 1. Those with 5 talents went out and made 5 more. The one with 2 talents went out and made 2 more. The one with 1 talent did this. He was afraid. He didn't use what he had. He did not increase his ability. He was happy to bury it, but it was taken from him. That was not well-pleasing to the Lord. When I was in college, I kind of wanted to take something easy once, so I took bowling. I tried bowling in Wheeler, Texas. There was a bowling alley in Wheeler. I wasn't very good at it. So I took this class, and the first day they said, everybody do your best. And I probably had the worst score. I was not good. But you know, that teacher graded on improvement. I got an A in that class because I had so far to go. I had a lot of ways to go. All right. Are you increasing your talent? Got your grades? Next thought, prayer. Brother Brandon had a lesson on this not long ago, so we won't go very deep in it. In James 5 and 16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Prayer is powerful. Prayer can do miracles. Do you know if we have a brother and sister that has fallen short and sinned, we can get together and pray for them and that sin is gone. That's close to a miracle in my book. Brother Brandon emphasized this word here, if I can get the pointer to work. Can't even find it now. Fervent. How many of us, when we pray, we hit the play button and we go, amen. We should be fervent. Put her heart into it. Romans 1 and 9, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, and that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. When I read this, I said, oops, I don't do that. I don't make mention of you very often in my prayers. I'm going to start doing that. Because I've heard people say, I've been praying for you. Great, that's good. I need all the prayers I can get. But do we pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ? Pray for their well-being. Pray for their strength. Pray that everything will go well with them, that they'll be healthy. That's something we need to do. How are you going to grade yourself on prayer? How many times a day do you pray? Do you pray for others? Or like Brandon said, whenever things are really dark and down, yes, you're praying. If everything is well, I mean, I can conquer all things. I don't need to pray. Think about that. Okay, next idea. Do we seek to save others? Matthew 28 and 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even into the end of the world. Amen. Who was Jesus talking to? His disciples. Where are the disciples now? They're dead. Who is going to go into all the world and teach? We are. The buck stops here. We're the ones to do that. Who is going to go baptize people in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost? We are. Are we doing that? Are we telling people about Jesus? In Acts 2 and 41, then they that gladly received the word were baptized, and the same day there were added to them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking the bread and prayers. This was on the day of Pentecost. 3,000 people decided they wanted to obey the gospel because they had been taught. That's what the disciples were told to do, to go and teach. Acts 8 and 31. And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And then he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Here we have the example of the eunuch. He was reading. He didn't know what was going on, so he wanted Philip to guide him. So have we asked others if we can help them in the scriptures? Look what happened a little further in Acts 8 and 36. And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What does hindereth me from to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. This is what happened when Philip went to him to help him study, to help tell him about Christ. So do we seek to save others? Have you invited to study with anyone? Have you offered to get with them to just go over something in the Bible? Have you invited someone to church? How do you grade yourself on this topic? Next topic. I didn't know really how to call this, so I just said, are we helpful? And Matthew 25 and 35, for I was a hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. How often do we help people? when someone's sick or they're just down and out, when they're in the hospital, when they're in prison, do we go to them? We had a fire this week. I had calls say, do you need any help? And I said, yeah, come on out. We may have to move out of the house. There's a fire pretty close. We need to be helpful and do good deeds. In Acts 15 and 36, and some days after Paul said to Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. Do we go check on folks? You know, it's easy now. You can text, you can call, you can email, you can do a lot of things. Check on them. How are you doing? Do you need anything? Is there something we can do to help you with? That can be important. Think about this verse in James 1 and 27. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. How often do we do that? You know, we have several of our members that are in nursing homes, in hospitals. We have widows. Do we check on them? Are we busy? Do we run out of time? Do we try to help? What's your grade? And I think this goes along with it. Hospitality. In Acts 16 and 15, and when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. Here was Lydia. She obeyed the gospel with her house, and she wanted the disciples to come in. I don't know whether she was going to fix them a meal. Maybe she was going to wash their feet. She was just wanted to do anything. Let me explain to you what constrained is. Becky and I was constrained once in McMinnville, Tennessee. We was traveling and went to church in McMinnville, Tennessee. We decided before we got there that we had a lot of miles to go. We didn't want to hang around. Let's just go to church. There's a couple named Mark and Robin Parkhurst. They constrained us. We ended up spending the whole day. Nothing to do but to go home with them. Eat dinner with us. Let's talk. Let's get to know each other. That's what constrained is. Being kind to those. That's what hospitality does. A couple more verses. Romans 12 and 13, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. A Christian should be given to hospitality. The early day Christians sold their possessions and just distributed to all the Christians. Is anybody willing to sell their land, their automobiles, their boats, or whatever? Let's just give it to the needy. We don't do that nowadays, do we? 1 Peter 4 and 9, use hospitality one to another without grudging. This is what Christians are supposed to do. Good deeds will gain people in the church. Doing good things. Do we do that? What's your grade? There we go. We used to have perfect attendance in school. I don't know whether we got a gold star or what, but we used to have perfect attendance. Hebrews 10 and 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the matter of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. God wants us to be in the services. He wants us to be here. Here's one reason. John 6 and 53, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Be here so you have life. Be here so you can partake of the Lord's Supper. That's a reason to be here among a lot of things. Hebrews 3 and 13. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. We gain strength by our brothers and sisters in Christ. We exhort one another. We encourage each other. You know, when I was in college, I had a neighbor. I called him Dashing Doyle. And he would get an excused absence so many times. He'd go tell that professor, you know, my mother had to have her gallbladder out. And I'd say, Doyle, where was you today? So I had to go work, or I had to go do something. He said, I got an excuse. And I said, how? Well, my mother had a gallbladder out. I said, how many gallbladders does she have? He kept getting off. Well, it worked. He became a PhD for the state of Oklahoma, an equine specialist. It worked for him, but he got excused. Will it work with our Lord? Will it work with our Lord? Okay, what's your grade there? We're out of room. All right. Are you obedient? You know, lots of times the children will say, I'm not too obedient. Mom and Dad tell me something, I don't get around to do it. Are you obedient to the Lord? In Romans 6 and 17, but God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered with you. What is that form of doctrine? Have you obeyed that? And I think most of you here realize what it is, but let's go over it rather quickly. Have you obeyed the Lord and what He's told you to do? In Luke 11 and 28, but He said, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Do you hear the word of God? Do you keep it? Hebrews 11 and 6, but without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. It's not very hard to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Luke 13 and 3 is repent. I tell you nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Repentance is basically this. You're going this way in a bad direction, and you decide, nope, I don't want to do that. I want to live and do good things. That's repentance. It's change of heart. I don't want to do sinful things. I want to do godly things. Matthew 10 and 32, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father which is in heaven. Just when we said about the eunuch, he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's a confession. And then in Mark 16 and 16, I don't have the verse up there. He that believeth is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. That's just what the eunuch did. They both went down into the water. We have water back here. He was baptized. And his sins was washed away. Now here is the important part to remember. In Romans, here it is. It's 2 Thessalonians 1 and 7. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. When they do not obey the gospel, when that happens, that is failure. You know, you can study hours, days, weeks, You can try with all your heart. You can increase at singing. You can increase at teaching. You can increase at anything. You can pray day and night. You can invite everybody to church. You can help. You can bring people to your home. You can never miss a service. If you do not obey the plan of salvation, you fail. That's it. You fail. If you will not do this, you're not obedient, you fail. It don't matter about all the rest of it. This is the most important step that anyone takes in their Christian life. The most important step. If you passed, here's what happened. Matthew 25 and 34. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. God has prepared a place in heaven for those that pass. That's a reward. And just like we've seen earlier, those that fail, in Matthew 25 and 41, then shall he say also to them on the left hand, Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. There's not an in-between. You pass or you fail. You know, when we was in school, a time or two, we'd get a makeup test. But there's not a makeup test, as we read here. In Luke 16 and 20, and there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass, as the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom, the rich man also died and was buried. Let's see what happens next. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. Now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. I can't imagine just needing a drop of water when you're in torment, when you're that hot. Verse 26, And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from thence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. And Abraham said unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went to them from the dead, they will repent. No second chances. There's not a time to redo it. Once death comes on you, you can't, don't have another chance. It's over. So when you look at your report card this morning, what do you got? Are you got all A's? A's and B's? Are you average? Below average? Or do you have the big F? This is the ultimate failure, to not get to go to heaven. And we don't get to retake the test. We don't get to cheat on it. I always had the great idea that I could do this. Don't work that way. You don't get to redo it. So I want you to think about your report card at this time.